You know that feeling when you walk into a store, or maybe you're just browsing online, and you glance at a price tag for something you're incredibly familiar with?
Right, something you've seen 100 times.
Exactly. And you just freeze, like your brain sort of stutters trying to recalculate the math.
You just assume there has to be a typo.
Yeah, you assume it's a typo, but it isn't a typo. Today, we are looking at why Microsoft just spiked the price of a 4-year-old console to $900.
Which is just, I mean, it's unheard of.
It is. And more importantly, why this means your next laptop might be entirely unaffordable. So, just to set the scene for you, it is August 2026. The flagship Xbox Series X has skyrocketed to 800 euros in Europe.
And, the entry-level model didn't escape the fallout either. The Series S experienced this massive 50% price spike, jumping overnight to 500 euros.
It's wild.
We are seeing mid-generation price hikes that honestly just defy decades of consumer electronics history.
Yeah, that never happens. Usually these things get cheaper to manufacture the longer they exist. So to figure out what on earth is going on, we are relying on an exhaustive microarchitectural and economic teardown from a source called Tech and Analysis.
It's a fantastic report, really comprehensive.
Truly, they've provided financial telemetry, semiconductor geopolitics, and some hard technical constraints.
Yeah.
We want to understand why this unprecedented price hike is happening.
And how this $900 Xbox signals a massive permanent shift in the global tech market.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the magnitude of what Microsoft just did requires us to look at the foundational economics of the video game industry, right?
Right. We are basically witnessing the collapse of the subsidized hardware model.
The classic razor and blade strategy.
Exactly. Historically, hardware manufacturers sell physical consoles at a deliberate loss. They usually eat a subsidy of about $100 to $150 per unit just to get the physical box into your living room.
The strategy being that they make that money back through the 30% royalty they take on digital storefront sales. Right.
Yeah, and through recurring monthly subscriptions like Xbox Game Pass.
So you take a hit on the hardware to lock the user into your software ecosystem.
That was the math for 4 decades. But the Tekken analysis points out that the core materials required to build the hardware now cost so astronomically much that the digital software margins, well, they simply cannot absorb the hit anymore.
The culprit being memory.
Always memory. The global prices for memory chips, specifically the GDDR6 RAM that consoles use to juggle active graphics, and the high-speed NVMe solid-state drives used for storage, they've surged by 250%.
Over what time frame?
In just the first 7 months of 2026 alone.
250%.
Yeah.
Wow. So because of that spike, Microsoft's per unit manufacturing losses ballooned from a manageable $100 to an unsustainable $200 to $250 per console.
Which is just a bleeding wound for any company.
Right. It's like the classic printer and ink business model. But suddenly, the plastic to build the printer costs so much that selling the ink doesn't even cover the difference.
That is a perfect way to look at it.
But let me push back on that for a second. We're talking about Microsoft here. This is a multi-trillion-dollar corporate behemoth.
Oh, sure.
They have the cash reserves to just, eat that $250 loss for a few years, right?
Right.
Why not just weather the storm to keep the install base growing and keep gamers happy?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the software side of the equation is no longer bailing out the hardware side. If we look at software purchasing behavior in 2026, it is heavily plateauing.
How so?
Consumers are shifting away from buying individual $70 games. They're moving almost entirely toward flat rate subscription models.
Oh, I see. If everyone is just paying a flat $15 a month for Game Pass, the actual royalty yields per user are capped.
Exactly.
They aren't scaling up with the hardware costs.
The revenue ceiling per user has totally flattened out, so corporate balance sheets can no longer justify taking on these unhedged, massive hardware subsidies when the software side isn't generating compounding growth.
Right.
The entire ecosystem fundamentally breaks when the entry point becomes too expensive to subsidize.
That covers the financial side of the collapse, which makes
Yeah.
sense. But we really need to look at the mechanical side. Like, why is memory suddenly so expensive?
This is the crazy part.
Yeah, the Tekken report points the finger directly at the massive, largely invisible infrastructure powering the modern AI boom. We're talking about hyperscale AI, data centers.
Yeah. To put the sheer scale of this into perspective, in just the early months of 2026, tech giants like NVIDIA, OpenAI, Google Cloud, and Microsoft Azure deployed over $220 billion specifically for AI infrastructure.
$220 billion.
Just in a few months. And the frontier large language models driving this revolution, they require staggering volumes of premium memory to function. They don't just use standard RAM.
Right, they need the good stuff.
They require highly specialized architectures like HBM3E and HBM4 alongside LPDDR5X DRAM.
Let's break those acronyms down for a second because they really are at the center of this whole crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So standard memory chips sit flat on a motherboard, right? Just taking up physical space.
Right. And high bandwidth memory, or HBM, solves that space constraint by stacking memory chips vertically on top of each other.
Oh, like a skyscraper.
Like a microscopic skyscraper, microscopic layer by microscopic layer. This allows the AI processors to access terabytes of data near instantly.
Which is mandatory for training neural networks.
Exactly. But manufacturing those 3D memory skyscrapers is incredibly complex. There are only a few companies on Earth, you know, foundries like TSMC in Taiwan and Samsung that can actually print them.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. We basically have a massive internal bidding war happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you are TSMC, you have a limited number of silicon wafers you can process each month. You can either use that capacity to print standard GDDR6 memory for an Xbox.
Or you can print HBM3E memory for an enterprise AI data center.
Right. And the margins aren't even close, are they?
Not at all. The foundries make 400% to 600% higher profit margins on the AI silicon compared to consumer gaming chips.
It's 100%.
Yeah. So they have systematically reallocated 65% of their total wafer capacity strictly to enterprise AI. And that number is projected to hit 80% soon.
So if you think about it, Microsoft's own cloud division, Microsoft Azure, in its race to build the biggest AI data centers, is actively cannibalizing Microsoft Xbox's hardware supply chain.
That is exactly what's happening.
Azure is throwing billions at the foundries for AI memory, which leaves Xbox scrambling to buy whatever standard memory is left over at a 250% markup.
Yeah.
The irony is just wild.
It really highlights a permanent structural shift in semiconductor manufacturing. Foundries now derive over 60% of their total operational margins from enterprise AI alone.
So consumer electronics are just out of luck.
Pretty much. During quarterly negotiations for silicon wafer allocations, consumer electronics are simply pushed to the bottom of the priority list.
Okay, but if premium memory is so impossibly expensive right now, my next logical question is about pivoting.
Okay.
Why don't the console makers just pop open the Xbox design and use slightly cheaper, maybe slightly slower memory components? Like, why force the $900 price tag onto the consumer instead of just modifying the box?
Because they are locked into what the tech and analysis calls a microarchitectural trap.
A trap.
Yeah. A console isn't like a desktop PC where you can easily swap parts around. Its operating system and its internal architecture are hard-coded to require 16 gigabytes of RAM operating on a very specific 320-bit bus interface.
Okay, let's translate that for the listener just so we can visualize it. Think of the processor as a massive sports stadium and the RAM as the parking lot where all the fans, you know, the date are waiting.
Okay, I like this.
The 320-bit bus is like a 32-lane highway connecting the parking lot to the stadium. If you downgrade the hardware to save money, maybe dropping down to a cheaper 128-bit bus, you've just bottlenecked your highway down to 12 lanes.
And that physical bottleneck totally breaks the software ecosystem. Modern open-world game engines are programmed with the fundamental assumption that a 32-lane highway of data will always be available.
So the game just wouldn't work.
Right. Furthermore, the console requires a custom PCIe 4.0 NVMe storage drive that guarantees a strict 2.4 gigabytes per second of continuous data throughput.
Because games no longer load entire levels into RAM all at once, right?
Exactly. They stream textures and assets directly from the storage drive in real time as you tune your character's camera.
So if you put a slower storage drive in there, the player turns their camera and the world is just empty, blurry polygons.
Yeah, because the data couldn't travel fast enough to draw the trees and buildings. The game engine literally crashes.
Wow. It's like trying to run a high-speed bullet train on wooden tracks. You can't just swap in cheaper parts without the whole software ecosystem derailing.
That's spot on. And beyond the memory and storage, there is another highly technical bottleneck hidden in the security hardware.
Oh, right. The anti-piracy stuff.
Yeah. Consoles require dedicated hardware security modules to prevent software piracy. They use isolated secure processor enclaves. And to ensure encryption keys cannot be mathematically guessed by hackers, the system requires physical, true, random number generators.
Which is fascinating because computer software is governed by strict logic, so it can't actually generate a truly random number on its own. It needs a physical, unpredictable input from the real world.
Exactly. The Xbox uses microscopic circuits that harvest thermodynamic noise, literal physical heat fluctuations at the atomic level to generate those random numbers.
That is just brilliant engineering.
It is, but it creates a massive supply chain vulnerability. Those specific security chips are built on older 28 nanometer and 40 nanometer fabrication nodes.
But wait, 28 nanometer tech is ancient in the computing world. If we are printing cutting-edge AI chips on 3 nanometer nodes, why are we still using older, bulkier transistors for security?
Because they are cheap, extremely durable, and highly reliable. That is also why the global automotive industry buys them by the millions for car sensors.
Oh, so they're competing with cars now, too.
Yes. And here is the problem. Foundries hate building new 28 nanometer factories because the profit margins on legacy nodes are tiny compared to the new AI nodes.
Right, they want the 600% AI margin.
Exactly. So nobody is building new capacity for the old chips. Microsoft is getting squeezed on the bleeding edge memory by AI and squeezed on the legacy security chips by the auto industry.
They are literally trapped by their own spec sheet. Now, I want to bring this back to something our European listeners are definitely feeling right now.
The regional price gap.
Yes. Why are the European and UK markets seeing a massive 300 euro gap between the Series S and Series X? It's disproportionately higher there than anywhere else.
Geopolitical realities and regulatory environments compound the hardware crisis. You have the European value-added tax inflating the base price, plus Microsoft hedging heavily against euro-to-dollar exchange rate volatility.
Makes sense.
Global logistics and freight costs across Europe are also up 30% compared to 2024. But the most significant amplifier is the European Union's strict mandate for two-year hardware warranties,
which are consumer protection laws, which normally work in the buyer's favor. How does that drive the retail price up so drastically?
Look at the accounting reality for the manufacturer. Under those laws, hardware makers are required to hold incredibly large buffer inventories of replacement consoles in local European warehouses.
Oh, I see.
So when the raw materials to build a single console suddenly cost $250 more, the capital required to manufacture thousands of consoles just to let them sit untouched on a warehouse shelf becomes a massive financial anchor.
So they have to pass the cost of that trapped capital onto the consumer.
Exactly, which amplifies the retail price spike across the entire EU zone.
Which brings us to the most alarming realization in this whole deep dive. This isn't just a video game problem, is it?
No, not at all.
Because every single modern electronic device shares this exact same fundamental silicon supply chain. The $900 Xbox is really a warning siren. It's a leading indicator for the entire consumer tech market.
And if we look at the broader telemetry in the Tekken report, the spillover is already happening.
Right.
Apple's MacBook Air lineup is currently facing severe inventory constraints. They have had to push through $100 to $400 price hikes purely because they cannot secure enough standard DRAM and NAND storage from the foundries.
The DIY PC gaming market is getting crushed, effectively walled off for average buyers right now.
Completely.
If you want to build a PC today, PCIe 5.0 solid-state drives and DDR5 RAM kits have doubled in price. Just assembling a mid-range PC build is pushing well above $1,100.
Even handhelds like the Steam Deck and the Asus ROG Ally, which use that highly sought-after LPDDR5X memory, they are seeing $150 to $200 surcharges.
Everywhere. And Sony is standing directly in the crosshairs alongside Microsoft, right?
Oh, yeah. The PlayStation 5 uses proprietary ultra-high-speed SSD architecture and the exact same 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory that is plaguing the Xbox.
Uh-oh.
The financial analysts in the report warn that a PS5 or PS5 Pro price hike in Europe before the Q4 2026 holiday season is highly probable. They face identical supply chain cost pressures.
So literally no tech is safe. But wait, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it has to be affecting enterprise operations as well, right? Like the massive IT departments running traditional non-AI server farms for banks and hospitals.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, yes, Enterprise IT operators are watching these component prices skyrocket, and their immediate reaction is to extend their server life cycles.
To save money.
Right. To maximize the return on investment on parts that are now incredibly expensive to replace, they are stretching their server lifespans from 3 years out to 5 years.
But wait, if enterprise companies stop retiring their servers, that completely destroys the secondary market. The consumer tech industry relies on a massive, steady stream of cheap, repurposed memory silicon trickling down from enterprise servers when they get decommissioned.
Exactly.
If the servers stay online for 2 extra years, that cheap memory stream just evaporates.
It creates a compound supply drought. The foundries aren't printing cheap new silicon because they are focused on AI, and the enterprise sector isn't releasing cheap recycled silicon into the wild.
Man. So if listeners sitting there right now looking at their aging laptop or their noisy gaming PC, wondering if they should upgrade before prices get even more astronomical, what is the actual timeline here? When do the foundries just build more factories to catch up with demand?
Unfortunately, relief is years away. Semiconductor companies like TSMC and Intel are actively trying to expand. They're breaking ground on new wafer fabrication foundries in Dresden, Arizona, Ohio, and Germany.
Okay, that sounds promising.
But you are looking at 36 to 48 months minimum before those facilities produce anything.
4 years to build a factory. I mean, I know it's advanced technology, but
yeah.
What physical mechanism takes 4 years to assemble?
Well, they aren't just pouring concrete for a standard warehouse. They are building the most complex manufacturing environments on Earth to operate extreme ultraviolet lithography machines.
The lasers.
Right. The devices that use lasers to physically etch microscopic circuits into silicon.
Yeah.
You need absolute physical stability. A heavy truck driving by on a road a mile away can cause enough seismic vibration to misalign the laser and ruin a multi-million dollar batch of silicon.
Wow. So they have to build massive, specialized vibration-dampening foundations deep into the bedrock.
Exactly. Plus, the clean room validation process. The air filtration systems take months to calibrate because a single microscopic speck of dust landing on a wafer destroys the processor.
Just one speck.
Just one. These new facilities won't achieve the commercial yields needed to boost global output by the necessary 25 to 30% until late 2027 or early 2028.
So we are structurally stuck in this high-cost environment until 2028. How is the industry adapting to survive the wait?
The Tech In analysis outlines several mitigation strategies Microsoft is deploying immediately. For one, they are completely discontinuing the 2-terabyte version of the Xbox Series X.
Oh, because holding on to volatile NAND flash inventory is too risky for their balance sheet.
Right. By eliminating the high storage model, they are shifting the inventory risk of expensive storage expansion onto third-party accessory makers.
Smart. They're also aggressively expanding buy now, pay later schemes with 0% APR financing, just to make an 800-euro console psychologically digestible on a monthly basis.
Exactly. And they are pushing their Microsoft-certified refurbished fleets, offering 30 to 40% savings.
But the most significant industry pivot, the one that actually changes how we interact with our digital media, is cloud gaming.
This is the true paradigm shift. Platforms like Xbox Cloud Gaming and NVIDIA GeForce Now W are becoming essential infrastructure rather than just optional features.
Because of the efficiency.
Right. When hardware costs this much, the sheer inefficiency of traditional consumer electronics becomes glaring. You cannot afford to let an 800-euro console sit idle in a living room for 22 hours a day while the user is at work or sleeping.
The silicon is just too precious to sit there turned off.
Exactly. Cloud gaming allows platforms to host high-density server blades in centralized data centers. They can amortize the cost of that highly expensive memory across millions of users around the clock.
Oh, I get it. One single server blade might render a game for a user in London during the day.
And then instantly switch to serving a user in New York during the night. The utilization rate of the hardware goes from maybe 10% in a living room to nearly 100% in a data center.
So what does this all mean for the listener today? Since relief is years away, what should they actually do to protect their wallets?
Well, the TechIn report offers highly actionable advice for navigating the next 3 years. They recommend prioritizing consoles with optical disk drives, which allows you to buy, trade, and resell physical media to recoup your massive hardware costs.
That makes a lot of sense.
They also advise deferring any PC memory upgrades unless absolutely critical, buying official refurbished units, and embracing cloud streaming to avoid local hardware investments entirely.
But I have to ask a broader question here. If we fully embrace cloud streaming, are we quietly entering an era where we simply don't own our digital lives anymore? We just rent a piece of glass and pay a monthly subscription fee to access processing power in a data center 1,000 miles away?
I mean, honestly, the economic realities of artificial intelligence infrastructure are forcing consumer technology into a centralized rental model. When the underlying hardware becomes too expensive for the individual to own, the corporation will own it and lease you the access.
We are trading ownership for accessibility.
Yes.
Let's summarize the mechanisms we've unpacked today. The $900 Xbox is not arbitrary corporate greed. It is the visible collapse of a 40-year-old subsidized hardware model. Hyperscale AI data centers have fundamentally devoured the global memory supply. That insatiable demand, combined with 400% profit margins at the foundry level, has caused a 250% price spike in memory components.
And it is driving up the cost of literally everything, from gaming consoles to MacBooks to handheld PCs.
And because it takes 4 years to build a vibration-proof, dust-free microchip factory, there's no real relief coming until those new foundries come fully online in 2028.
Ultimately, understanding the underlying causes, you know, the wafer allocations, the AI margins, the microarchitectural constraints, it changes how you view the market.
Yeah, it really does.
You aren't just reacting to a frustrating price tag anymore. You are empowered to make strategic, informed investments with your technology budget over the next 3 years, knowing exactly why the market is behaving this way.
Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over. If hardware prices continue to escalate and the tech industry transitions almost entirely to cloud streaming from centralized enterprise data centers, will localized high-performance personal computing eventually become an extreme luxury item?
It's a very real possibility.
Imagine a future where owning a physical PC or a high-end console sitting under your television is like owning a racehorse. It becomes this niche, incredibly expensive hobby reserved solely for the ultra-wealthy, while the rest of the world merely subscribes to processing power beamed down from the sky.
That's a sobering thought.
The next time you walk into a store and freeze while looking at a price tag that doesn't make sense, remember, you aren't just looking at inflation. You are looking at the true cost of the AI revolution, trickling all the way down to your living room. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and keep questioning the forces shaping your digital world.